Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Joining us now is T.D. Teron Davenport, who always joins us on Mondays at 1 o'clock. T.D., appreciate you for joining us. Last week on Thursday night, it was a tough loss. It's a tough one to swallow because it felt like that was one that the Titans could have gotten. And it's a loss that felt a little bit easier to swallow given Will Levis and his performance. But the most disappointing thing to me, TD, was the defense. Over the last couple of weeks, I mean, they let Zach Moss run all over them. They let the Pittsburgh Steelers run all over them. What's been going on with the defensive front that we thought was had the makings of being elite going into this season?
Well, there's a lot of things that you could put to it. And one of the things that Mike Vrabel said, and it even applies to them not getting any sacks or only two QB hits, is guys aren't winning their matchups up front. So that's something that's not happening. You're not seeing that penetration in the backfield like you did earlier in the year, and that's making the running back reroute. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. You look at not setting the edge, and I think Mike Vrabel pointed it out pretty well. You know, there was one run where I think it was Jaylen Warren to the left. Rashad Weaver didn't set the edge, and Tremaine Edmonds came in, and he wasn't able to make the tackle, and it probably would have been a different situation if that edge was set. And that's always the basic formula that they'll tell you when the running attack is going well for the opposite team. They're not setting the edge, they're not creating a wall, and they're not swarming and tackling.
What was your evaluation of Will Levis on Thursday night?
I think all things being considered, just the way he's able to get the ball out of his hands, even with people around him, is really good. He had some outstanding throws. That one to Kyle Phillips on the deep out-breaking route was a really good one. He had a good one to Westbrook Akinney, too. And then you look at the way he fired that one to DeAndre Hopkins, you know, right after Renegade. They played the Renegade song, and that stadium was going crazy. And that was all just put out, you know, this thing. It was like a fire extinguisher, you know. It was put out with that one throw that he made. So I was impressed with it. I mean, obviously, there's some that you know, he might have been able to get a little bit better placement on. I don't hold the interception against him. It's 11 seconds left. You're trying to make a play, and that's really what it comes down to.
Hard not to be impressed. Wasn't perfect. No. Didn't expect him to be, but it's hard not to be impressed with what we've seen from Will Levis through 2 weeks. What did you make of the play calling on Thursday night, in specifically that second-to-last possession of the second half when it's about, what, 3.5 minutes left? The end around to Treylon Burks, then you run it up the middle with Derrick Henry, and then running it with Tajay Spears, and then the 4th-and-4 throw to Treylon Burks that ultimately got him knocked out of the game. I was very confused about those decisions by Tim Kelly.
Yeah, I didn't like that series. I understand what they were trying to do. I just think, you know, you get into a 2nd-and-5, a 2nd-and-4 type of situation after that end around to Burks, I think that's when you already know your quarterback, he's playing well. So give him an opportunity to get you that first down and to make the play. They gave the ball to Derrick Henry, and it's funny because in these types of situations, if Derrick Henry doesn't get a touch, everybody's like, oh, how did you not give the ball to Derrick Henry? Because that's exactly what was going on in the Saints game, you know. So it's either way, you're going to lose in the court of public opinion. But the play to Tajay Spears on 3rd down, I had an issue with that. The 4th down call, I don't have an issue with that because, frankly, and I put this on Twitter, you know, with the dots and everything, and you got, you know, that 3-by-1, Burks on the backside, and I get it. You know, you have your alert. There's one-on-one there. You trust Treylon Burks to win, but you just need 4 yards, right? And you look at that, and you know how they were bringing the safety down to double DeAndre Hopkins when he's in the slot. Hopkins ran that slant, Okonkwo wearing the clear out, and Kyle Phillips was number one on that side, and he was open very quickly. And as opposed to going deep like that, get the ball to Phillips, get the first down, live to see another series.
But on plays like that, I don't blame it on the and you really try not to put blame anywhere because, you know, right. Will Levis sees what he sees. If I'm a quarterback and I got one-on-one, you know, coverage with a big wide receiver who I have faith in, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's where the guys are going. They're going to their big play guy. Where's the one-on-one matchup? I want to find it. There it is. Let me exploit it. It just didn't work. So I don't fault necessarily the play calling. It's just a rookie quarterback that, you know, that sees what he sees and he's trusting what he sees. And instead of just getting the 4 yards, he wants to, you know, get the play down the field because he believes right now what I see is one-on-one matchup. And every coordinator will tell you, if you got a one-on-one matchup out there with a guy that you feel has the ability to go get the ball, then that's where you go, regardless of what they're doing anywhere else, because you knew they were going to double D-Hop. But you're right. Kyle Phillips was open. But I think, like a rookie quarterback, he had already made up his mind where he was going. I'm not going to fault him for that. You know, the play didn't work out the way they you know, wanted to work out, and you kind of move on from there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the reason why I explained it like that is I wanted to make it clear that I didn't believe the play call was bad on that fourth down. Mm-hmm. You're right. You know, you have that alert that you don't see the safety over top. You got Burks 1-on-1, and he's already shown, Levis, that is, he's already shown that he's going to bomb it out, you know, and he's done that to Burks specifically multiple times. So it was there. It's just one of those things where I wonder, you know, how you go about coaching that up. Like, do you tell him to dial it back? You know what I mean? And it's hard not to because he's been successful on that. So that's a tough balance that I would hate to have as a position coach.
Yeah, you don't want to ever scare him away from making that throw again.
Exactly.
But it is hard to, like, how do you tell a young quarterback, hey, we only need 4 yards. So take what the defense gives you as opposed to seeing that guy one-on-one, because under any other circumstances, that's where you're going. Now, let's get back to the defense, TD. And, you know, we talked about this earlier on in the show. I don't think it's so much of the front seven, you know, because when you see situations like, you know, Pittsburgh rushing for over 130 yards or what Indianapolis was able to do in their run game, Baltimore, I'm specifically now just looking at what I saw in the Pittsburgh game. I don't think they out-physicaled that front seven. I think they out-techniqued them. And that's far different from just pushing those guys around, because I'm not going to sit here after watching the film and say, yeah, Big Jeff got pushed around. He didn't. How can you push a guy like that around? Big Tierra Turner, oh, he got pushed around. Yeah, maybe one or two plays, and maybe he was going that way, and they just pushed him further along. But what I saw from the Pittsburgh Steelers is that their technique is what won them those matchups, and not necessarily, oh, we just pushed this team around.
Yeah, and it's something that is surprising because Terrell Williams is such a sound coach up front, you know, so it is surprising. And that's exactly, you talk about technique, right? Setting the edge, that's a part of run defense. And it didn't happen on that one play, and it was like a 20-something yard game for Jalen Warren. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's basically what happened. You look at these guys, you know, like you said, you're not going to see Simmons get pushed around and moved or anything like that. Azeez Al-Shaair had a pretty good game, you know, so I'm not going to put it on the linebackers all the way either. They just got to get better. And that late drive, that scoring one, you know, giving up that long run, and then also, like, can't hide the 30-yard or so gain that Deontay Johnson had to put them in a better position.
Now, TD, why do you think Vrabel hasn't named a starting quarterback? You know, why do you think he's going to wait? Do you think it has more to do with just the respect for Ryan Tannehill? Or do you think there's really discussion within that building about, well, maybe let's go back to Ryan Tannehill?
I think there's a mixture of three things. The two things you mentioned, and then also you add in just the – strategy side of things. We know that Mike Vrabel does not like to reveal much, you know, so I would imagine, well, hopefully, you know, he names a starter tomorrow, but I would imagine nothing really becomes concrete until later in the week. And that's something that I think is going to be the case. And it's just interesting. And I want to ask him about it, but I'm a little hesitant too, because he never likes to address questions dealing with his playing days. But I'm just really curious, because he'd been there and done that, right? He was there in New England when Drew Bledsoe got hurt and Tom Brady came in. And I'm just curious if he's weighing on any his, not his decision, but just drawing a little bit of judgment just from that situation back then, you know, that experience that he went through.
Makes sense.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, we now get the news on Nicholas Petit-Frere, and unfortunately it looks like this is spinning away towards sort of a lost season for him for all these different reasons. But now it really leaves you in a bind from where you go offensive line-wise. What do you think is the best strategy that they could try given the circumstances? It's hard because we don't have all the information because all these guys are nicked up. But, man, this looks bleak.
Yeah, well, the one guy that is healthy is Dylan Raidens. So, I would put him at left tackle. It's just the Andre Dillard experience is just something that I don't care who's back there at quarterback, I wouldn't want to be put involved with, right? So, you got that Dillard at left tackle. Hubbard, it's been a good amount of time now, you know, for that concussion. I would see if that's something that he could come back from, and if he can, then you put him at right tackle. That's the way I would do it.
So that hopefully could stabilize where they're going from here. So, where do you see Petit-Frere going forward? It's not like his contract's up, but man, it's just a bummer in the whole big picture. You were hoping you had a piece there. Can you see him? Do we have any sense of whether he could be available before the year's over?
No, with that shoulder surgery, I don't think he's going to be back. Because, you know, you have the surgery, then you've got to rehab, then you got to regain the strength. And it's just a whole lot. And I don't know the extent, like, you know, rotator cuff, what it is. And the thing is, though, just a surgery on your shoulder, that's not something I would imagine that he would come back from.
What are your thoughts on what we saw from around the division yesterday? Obviously, the Jags didn't play, but that performance by C.J. Stroud was eye-opening. And, of course, he did it against the next opponent for the Titans. But it has to be noteworthy to Rand Carthon and all the plans of the big picture that the Texans and even the Colts, their plans, they look like they're further ahead than most people thought they would be at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the Texans, and it's not really eye-opening to me because, you know, Stroud, he's played outstanding football all year for the most part. Yeah, he had a clunker last week against the Panthers, but, I mean, this guy is, what, 40-something seconds left, took over on his own 25-yard line and just executed that two-minute drill just to perfection. And that's something that you just kind of expect from him because this is what he did in college. And he's just a continuation. As far as the Colts are concerned, I think the big thing that you have to look at, that offense didn't, Gardner Minshew and the crew, like, they didn't play outstanding football. Remember, they got two pick sixes, right? And so, you know, that's 14 points on the board that you know, you got from intercepting Bryce Young. So I think defensively this Colts team is outstanding, and that's just something that has been something they can hang their hats on over the last few years, right? So it's nothing new there. But, yeah, those two teams, I mean, they got big wins, and they got them in two different ways.
All right, TD, I got to know, in an emergency situation, could you kick a 29-yard field goal in a big situation?
No, I'm not doing that, man. Dari Ogunbowale, he gets my props. I got to talk to him yesterday on ESPN Radio about that.
Did man. You really?
Oh, my God. Was, we were able to score an interview there. I did a show with Brandon Jacobs, and we got him, and He said that he got to work on that, you know, a little bit during practice, but it had been established that he was the emergency kicker. He said, but I'm not the backup. I want to make it clear I'm the emergency, not the backup.
Man, I would love to have an emergency kicker like that, man. That was poise. That was ice water in the veins. That was a big kick.
And
that wasn't
timing.
Just like messing around at the end of the game. Hey, let's let this guy kick one. That was game on the line.
Yeah, it made it 33-30 in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
I said there is nothing more of a Vrabel guy than your running back that can kick field goals. You know, special teams contributions. TD Teron Davenport is with us. TD, scary scene for Treylon Burks on Thursday night. And I know that some of these injuries that he sustained over the past couple of years are out of his control. You know, you get hit, a dirty hit in Philadelphia that sits you out with a concussion. Not your fault, but you still aren't available again on Thursday night against the Steelers, that we just haven't seen enough consistency, whether it's on the field or ability to stay on the field from Treylon Burks. What do you think comes next for him and really in this wide receiver room as a whole for the Titans?
Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, to see him be unconscious the way he was on the turf, and to know that that's less than a year after it happened another time, it really makes you think things out. And it was really good just to see him walk out of the locker room afterward. And, you know, to hear Mike Vrabel say that he's in contact with them, texting, and was on his way to the building on Monday, that's a positive thing. But we know these concussions, man, they're not something to play with. So I don't know that he plays against the Bucks, and it's just a series of misfortune that this young man has encountered. You still got to keep trying him out there as much as you can. So I think that's his future, and obviously when he's healthy, if they could find a way to get him to be consistent, then they could kind of cash in on that investment that they did. But I tell you, man, you know, you watch college football, and you look at Texas, man. They got a guy, Xavier Worthy, man. He's
so good.
He's a return punts, and he's a vertical stretch. You got that, and then you got Leggett from
South Carolina.
Just a big, sturdy. I mean, this guy's listed like 6'3", 227. And you just see him bouncing off of tackles, and he gets vertical also. I mean, there's some options there, and I think, you know, you're going to have to – at some point fill in with that true vertical guy. And if you could get him to double as a returner, Xavier Worthy is a guy that I would definitely go for.
And last one for me, TD. There was a report in the Boston Globe from Ben Volen that said that Vrabel would be Robert Kraft's home run hire if and when they move on from Bill Belichick. And, of course, that is a decision that lies solely in the hands of Amy Adams Strunk, what she wants to do with the future of this organization. Is it worth it? Is Vrabel the guy? But in your opinion, how important is consistency of coaching staffs for the development of a young quarterback?
Well, let me say this. Like, you know, a Corvette Stingray would be my home run vehicle if and when I move on from my Camaro. So, you know, that's something I would love to make happen. And just saying that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So I do think we got to get that out of the way. But you're right. A consistent coaching staff is very important. The thing that I wonder, though, is, okay, well, if they continue to lose and not have the ability to stack wins, like lose one, win one, lose one, I wonder if the message starts to get stale, right? Because it's hard to go out there and lose and have that frustration over and over again. So I wonder that. But I think it would be crazy for them to part ways with Mike Vrabel, unless it's four. I mean, you're talking about a couple first-round picks. You definitely have to consider it, but I think the value of consistency is just a complete message. And I remember talking to people when I first got here, and they raved about the positivity and just the different feel, the excitement within the building that Mike Vrabel brought. So I think that's hard to replace.
TD, you are the very best. Appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Take
awesome.
It easy.
Thanks, TD. And in reference to that Boston Globe report, that's the thing. You got to weigh, and it's not an easy decision of what's the value of what we would get in return versus the value that this coach brings to our organization and the consistency that he brings to the organization. Patini brings up a fair point. Sometimes you just need a fresh face. Sometimes the voice and the message just gets stale. That's the decision that Amy Adams Strunk could be faced with. Mm-hmm. Could be. All right, we'll continue to get back into your Titans thoughts, but coming up next, I want to fit in a quick Pred stop because we had a hat trick over the weekend. I want to get Willie's thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.